In the before times, that's the beginning of 2020, WBUR was having a conversation about how we eat and how that affects our bodies through a podcast called Food, We Need to Talk, co-hosted by Una Jada and Dr. Eddie Phillips.
What if you still want to lose weight because you don't think you look the way you should look?
Well, maybe let's get back to the point of this whole episode and probably the whole podcast. Beating yourself up is not helping. It's not only horrible for your mental health, but clearly it also affects your physical health.
Well, a year later, more than a year later, here we are. That conversation still at play as people talk about gaining the COVID-19 or people are stress eating during the pandemic and not being able to go to the gym. This month, then, people in the Commonwealth who are overweight, as defined by a body mass index of 25 or higher for overweight, 30 or higher for obesity, have become eligible for the vaccine. Some noted that this is the first time BMI has worked in their favor, but others have expressed resentment. And all of this can just add harm to conversations that are already really difficult. So how can we have a different conversation? Help us do that. Join us, 800-423-8255. What's your relationship with food and weight gain during this pandemic? Would you describe it as a healthy one, an unhealthy one? How are you managing that? And how are you finding ways to accept yourself? What was your reaction to BMI being part of creating the criteria for vaccine eligibility? And what is the conversation you wish we were having now about body and weight? Again, the number is 800-423-8255 or 1-800-423-TALK. And we're standing by on Twitter, too, at Radio Boston. So Una Jada and Dr. Eddie Phillips are joining us. They are, as we said, the co-hosts of Food, We Need to Talk. Dr. Eddie is also the director at the Institute of Lifestyle Medicine at the Spalding Rehabilitation Hospital and an assistant professor at Harvard Medical School. Una, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having us, Tiziana.
Thank you, Tiziana.
It's great to have you. Dr. Eddie, welcome. It's great to have you both. So let's jump right in. And I know the calls are already starting to come in, but I want to talk to the two of you for a minute first. You wrapped up Food, We Need to Talk shortly before the pandemic hit. Una, so time goes on. We go into quarantine. We remain in quarantine. Were you thinking, oh, this is going to be hard on people?
Oh my goodness. Yes. Not only hard on people, I was thinking this is going to be hard on me. I think when we were doing Food Based Talk, you know, I was so busy and I think all of us were just, you know, in the state of bliss we didn't even know we were in because we didn't know what could happen, you know? And then the pandemic hits and all of a sudden we're all stuck at home, 5 feet away from our kitchen 24/7 and basically unable to do all the things that usually keep us mentally sane. So I think it was just such a hard time for so many people.
And Dr. Eddie, what has the pandemic taught us in terms of how we're looking at health? Things like, you know, we talk about weight, we talk about food, but there's sleep and there's stress and there's relationships. Give us the health picture writ large.
So I'm on the same page as you, Tiziana. I think that to look just at food and just at our weight or just at our waistlines is folly, because what COVID has taught us, this has been the most remarkable stress test of us as individuals, as you was just saying, as the country, our medical system, our planet has been under a stress test. And under stress, things fail. When we think about our individual lives, stress leads to stress eating. It disrupts our sleep, and that could also make you eat more because you're not sated as easily. It could reduce your chance of going to the gym, especially if the gym's closed, or even getting out of the house, or even doing a few push-ups with a online instructor. Stress is really sort of at the heart of it. On the other hand, just a little positivity, I would say that COVID pandemic has given us a chance to really look at how important our individual health behaviors are.
So Una and Dr. Eddie, I'm going to go to the phones here and grab a call, 800-423-8255, to join this conversation. What is a better, healthier, more self-loving conversation that we can have about weight, BMI, food during the pandemic? We've got Katie on the line in Lynn. Katie, go ahead.
Hi, I'm so happy to talk to you guys, and I'm so happy you're talking about this topic. This is something I've been really thinking about in the last year, and as someone who's in recovery from an eating disorder, it's really difficult to hear so many people be negative about their bodies during a time when really we have bigger things to worry about. But I've been really encouraged by a lot of conversations that have been had over social media and the body positivity movement, just talking about, you know, what does it look like to factor your mental health into your overall well-being, and realize that you can be physically healthy and not be, you know, a very thin supermodel in the cultural beauty standard. And I'm just really benefiting from these conversations.
I'm glad, Katie, and I'm glad you called. Yuna, let me give you a chance to react to Katie.
Yeah, Katie, thank you so much for bringing up this topic. I think it's such an important thing to talk about. Tiziana, I know you've covered in past shows that eating disorders have only been going up over the pandemic, and drastically so. I think calls to eating disorder hotlines have gone up over 80% since the pandemic began. And it's just, you know, these sorts of disorders thrive in isolation. And now when we are all alone at home, or maybe with one or two other people, I think it's such an important conversation to have. And I think what Katie said is exactly right. The last thing that people should really be worried about right now is the few pounds you're going to be gaining over COVID, because there's so many bigger stressors underlying that. And I think if we put a bigger focus on the mental health that was causing the stress eating, we would all be better off than stressing even more about the results of the stress eating, if that makes sense.
Thanks for that, Yuna. Dr. Eddie, we've got a couple of people calling in about body mass index, which is a piece of the conversation I want to have. Let me grab one or two of these calls, and then I'm going to turn to you. Let's start. 800-423-8255 is the number. Let's start with Emma in Brighton. Emma, go ahead.
Hi, I'm really excited to talk to you guys about this. I've always had a lot of thoughts on BMI. I know that it's sort of an outdated measurement for, you know, measuring one's health and weight, and it doesn't really take muscle mass into account very well. So the fact that it was used to create the eligibility for the vaccine, I think, is really interesting. And I'm wondering if there was maybe a better way that we could have done that.
Thanks for that, Emma. And I am going to grab one more call here, but just to clarify for folks, that was added fairly last minute as an eligibility criteria for the April 5th tranche of people in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts who became eligible for the vaccine. And that was part of bringing the Commonwealth in line with CDC recommendations. One more call on this, and then to Dr. Eddie. We've got Andy on the line in Beverly. Andy, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm so excited that we're having this conversation. I'm a cognitive behavioral therapist, and I work with people on making healthier food choices and also on accepting their body, using cognitive therapy to change their thinking about this. And it's such a, you know, especially around BMI and how stigmatizing it is and how people will avoid going to the doctor because they don't want to hear their doctor tell them that they're, you know, overweight and they need to lose weight. And this idea of losing weight is also really detrimental because it is actually counterproductive, because although you might restrict and lose weight, you're going to gain more weight. So I also want to just say to everybody, don't worry about this extra weight. You know, be kind to yourself. Do not just ignore it. Do not try to lose it. Just try to maximize your healthy eating decisions.
Thanks for that, Andy. So Dr. Eddie, so much there, and BMI has become a flashpoint for us when we really didn't need any more flashpoints in this pandemic. So educate us.
Yeah, in the middle of a conflagration, can you have a yet another flashpoint? So BMI is properly used for populations. It's simply a metric that compares your height to your weight. And if you look at an entire population, it's effective. But as one of the callers pointed out, for individuals, it really can be flawed. For instance, if you have more muscle mass, then your weight relative to your actual size, your BMI may be overstated. Or if you're an older adult and you've lost a lot of muscle mass, and it can undercount. You could be sort of losing and yet carrying a lot of fat. So body mass index is better for populations, not for individuals. However, it does identify individuals that have a disease. The disease is obesity, and that disease as a risk factor puts you at tremendously increased odds of catching the virus. of being hospitalized and then of dying from the virus. So for those that are waiting for their vaccine, which is rapidly becoming available, you know, even beyond these restrictions, those that have obesity are at more risk. And I think the idea of them getting their shots early makes sense to me.
And I do want to ask you quickly in follow-up to that, Dr. Eddy, what do we know? We know that obesity has been known to reduce immune response to other vaccines, such as influenza, hepatitis B, rabies. What do we know about the vaccine efficacy in people who are experiencing the disease of obesity?
I don't have a direct answer about, and I don't know the data on exactly how well it's working. I know that they're more at risk. And I also know that even the conversation or even the consideration of the risks to the virus has increased anxiety amongst those who have obesity, which wraps itself back into the whole stress and the mental health issues that were brought up by one of the callers. So I don't have a direct answer to exactly how well the vaccines are working if you have obesity.
So that's a good thing for us to flag. Tomorrow we have an Ask the Doctors segment and with a couple of researchers. So I'll see if they have any more information for us on that there. Yuna, I'm keyed into what Dr. Eddy just said about. So then you wind up in this vicious cycle, right? Negative thoughts, higher anxiety, which then affects how you treat yourself, how you feel about yourself. We've actually got a caller who I think wants to speak to you directly, Yuna. And if you don't mind, I'm going to go to her. This is Nicole in West Boylston. Thanks, Yuna. Nicole, go ahead.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to say I loved the podcast. I started listening kind of at the beginning of the pandemic. Food has always, I've had such a troubled relationship with food my whole life. And this was, for me, a really good way to start going through this difficult time because I kind of went back to your words over and over between Dr. Eddy and Yuna talking about how it's okay. You know, you don't have to restrict calories. You don't have to think about this. Think in the moment, psychologically, is this food what I want right now? And if it is, give in to it. And if it's not, that think about something else. And I really tried to use those methods throughout the past year and just make myself feel healthier and happier rather than focusing on the amount I was putting in my body.
Thanks for that call, Nicole. Yuna, healthier messages, a reframing. What are you, of all the things that you learned in doing the podcast, what are the lessons that you find most important for people to share and know as we find ourselves in this stage of the pandemic?
I think the biggest message that I got from the podcast was that any action or change that comes out of self-hatred versus self-love is never sustainable. And I think for so many of us, the decisions we make around food and exercise come out of a place of wanting to change the way we look. And when actions are driven by that sort of behavior, first of all, they're more likely to be very extreme. They're not very likely to be enjoyable. And because of those two things, they're very likely temporary. And I think if we're trying to make a lifestyle change, meaning something we are going to do for the rest of our lives, it has to be something that you love and something that's relatively easy from where you are right now so that it is something you can do for a long time. And I think if everybody approached it that way, it would be a much more sustained and successful process.
And Dr. Eddy, you know, I think we also have some struggling to do about our community conversations around weight, food, health. Writer Emma Spector spoke to NPR's All Things Considered back in February about an article she wrote for Vogue about that, those with higher BMIs qualifying for the vaccine, which we addressed earlier. She mentioned how people who were overweight generally feel a different kind of judgment, a sort of fat shaming for just existing, and it got harder, actually, due to qualifying for the vaccine. Here she is.
People often talk about it as one of the last remaining acceptable biases because they're able to frame it in terms of health concern or, you know, a lot of these sort of arbitrary aesthetic or moral judgments that really just come down to often disdain for fat people.
This is a time when we're having a lot of conversations about how we show up for each other better. So how do we show up for each other better on this, Dr. Eddy?
Oh, I think I would go back and start with where Yuna left off, which is some self-compassion, some self-kindness in terms of what we're going through and realizing, or as the last caller had said gaining a few pounds is not the worst thing. If we break down our relationships with other individuals because we apply this stigma to them, we're both going to be damaged by that, both the person who's being stigmatized and even the person who's distancing themselves. So I think that this is a time for our community really to come together with kindness and compassion. The other thing that I'm just sort of smiling at, and I'll just say, is that when we talk about stigmatizing people that are overweight or obese, well, that's about 70% of the population. So I think maybe this defines self-loathing, that we're sort of looking at other people, and yet the majority of us are have obesity or are overweight.
And not only that, fat shaming has been scientifically proven in studies to do the opposite of what it is meant to do. It does not make people eat healthier. It does not make people exercise more. It makes them feel bad and eat more and exercise less. So if we really want people to get better, fat shaming is just not the way to do that.
And to the two of you, if either of you has an answer, any pandemic practices that in general people have picked up that are healthy and we should hold on to? Maybe Dr. Eddy.
So in the midst of lots of problems, home cooking has gotten a lot better. And there's a lovely couple of surveys that are done. The last one was called America Keeps on Cooking. And indeed, we are cooking more, and we understand that no matter what you cook, it's healthier than eating out. So we're cooking more, we're baking more, we're having more family meals. We are being more confident cooks, more creative cooks. And I could share that in the midst of this pandemic, I can't quite call myself a cook yet, but I've started cooking more. And this data reflects exactly my experience over the past year.
All right, well, we are going to have to end it there. I'm so grateful to both of you. We just heard Dr. Eddy Phillips, director of the Institute of Lifestyle Medicine at Spalding Rehab, co-host of the podcast Food We Need to Talk with Yuna, and Yuna Jada, creator and co-host of that podcast on WBUR. Thank you. This was great. Thank you so much
to both
of you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Tiziana.